Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Morelia Python Radio, brought to you in part by Morelia Python Forums, www.moreliapythons.com, the best Morelia Python forum on the net. Here we are, host Sandy.
Alive.
I hope all of our listeners and, everybody that is here on the East Coast made it through okay. I made it through without trees fall down a little bit, but that was about it.
Right.
Snakes
without
are safe
major incident. Yeah, that's good. I texted you. I'm like, are you alive? And you were like, yeah, I don't have internet. But so it was one of those things. And like what you said, we just hope that if you are hearing us right now, and you're fortunate enough to, that's awesome. But, you know, if you can't and you're one of our regular listeners and hopefully you're okay and you're safe. I know it's getting cold. I know a lot of people lost a lot, which is really kind of crappy. And this is pretty close to home for us. I mean,
yeah,
neighboring
absolutely.
States and things like that. I have family down in New Jersey who haven't been allowed back into their house yet. So.
Oh boy!
Little reckoning.
Yeah, it was a little rough, and then I don't know if Ron is out there, but I haven't heard from Ron, so I hope he's okay. Ron
mm-hmm.
Rondeau was supposed to come on Tuesday, and then
right.
Of course I had no internet for a few days.
Right.
So
and I was trapped in Philadelphia in a hotel room, going out of my mind.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So, yeah, Ron, if you're out there, reach out and let me know that you're okay and we can reschedule. Poor Ron. I mean, we've tried
this
to schedule a show with him for about, 5 months now. And it seems like every time something comes up and we miss his show. So, I'm hoping we can get that fixed and
out.
Get him on there.
Ron.
I talked to Luke the other day, and I was just texting him back and forth, and he had power outages for quite a while. My phone keeps dying, so I don't know if he ever got back up and running. But I know he's up there, so he's close to New York, North Jersey stuff. So
there was Site B or whatever you want to call it. They lost power. They just got it back today, and I have to head down there tomorrow. And because Chris is actually on a cruise, so he hasn't been home, so I have to go up there and take a full assessment of what's going on over there with the Barnex and the White Lips. And hopefully they were able to keep their temperature. I was told that it was still pretty warm where they were being kept, but yeah, I'm a little concerned there. So.
Oh man, yeah, I hope everything's okay.
We will see.
So yeah, we survived it through Sandy, and here we are. And I just figured I'd throw a show out there because it seemed like everybody was reaching out to me and they needed their Maria Python radio fix. So
there was something on Facebook that said, like, you know, Sandy's screwing up my my power and my job, and that's missing Maria Python radio. What the hell is this? So yeah, it was one of those things.
I've been busy working. I finally squared away our new logo, and I put it up on the Facebook page today.
Oh goodness!
It's the whole light side, dark side theme going on. You've seen it before, Owen? And
yes, I have.
Andrew,
being co-host, I get those kind of perks where I get to see things before people.
Yeah.
So it's one of my very few. One of my perks.
Yeah, Andrew Paris, he did a great job. He did a couple banners for us, and he did this
awesome
logo, and I can't wait to now be able to put it in the T-shirts and you know, all that kind of promo and swag and stuff. So
yeah,
I'm thinking, you know, Maria Python Radio with the whole light side, dark side. Which side are you? You know, type of thing. So
that's fantastic. I love it.
It'd be pretty cool.
And you can't pick Brettel. Shut up. I'm in the middle. Go to hell.
Make a decision, damn it. Yeah.
So.
But, yeah, I mean, other than that, I'm just getting back up and looking on the forums and stuff. And I'm just trying to remember the last time that we talked and what we talked about. I can't remember.
I had something I was going to bring up on Tuesday that
okay.
I just now remembered, and it's something that's floating out there that if you're a breeder like you and I, is kind of scary when they start to think about it again, and I know they're going to think about it soon. It's a picture of the back of a FedEx truck.
Oh, yeah, I did see this.
Where a quite large reticulated python apparently slipped its box and was shot by a FedEx delivery person, like not shot with a gun, but like he took a picture of it, that it was slithering around the back of the truck. Now, I've talked to a few of my friends who, you know, ship animals, and one who actually said he shipped a 13-foot reticulated python to a customer, and I've shipped, you know, 6-foot, I shipped a trio of llamas, 2 6-foots and a 5-foot in a box. They make the insulating boxes that friggin' big. But
okay,
for this retic to have slipped its box and be loose, what kind of shitty-ass, shoddy crap of a packing job is that?
Yeah, I would have
to
agree.
Think about it. If I pack a reptile, I'm going to use an insulation box. If I'm not using an insulation box, I'm asking for trouble, number one. So for one of my snakes to bust out, it would have to move a styrofoam lid that is the size of the box.
Oh, wow.
And then it would have to punch through the tape. So if you pack it right and you wind all the way around with the packing tape, there's no chance in hell that thing's getting out. I think this retic was just thrown in a box and taped shut.
Could be.
And I hope to God the person didn't have permission to ship the reptile through FedEx. Because if it did, I guarantee you this is going to be bad.
Well, I did. I can't remember. Here it is. I did see this, the post. They're on the Bush League. And I think I want to say that Ship Your Reptiles, Robin, he chimed in and said that he heard that this one incident wouldn't be the end all for shipping reptiles. But he was saying that if you're shipping something that big, you basically should be shipping it freight.
Or shipping
in
Delta.
In a wooden box, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I guess makes sense. I mean, Python's pretty strong.
I'm inclined to agree with him on that one. Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with him on that one. It's something that big. But you can do it if it's done correctly. So that's why I'm saying if the guy didn't have permission to send the retic through the mail, then he's just going to get in trouble. But if he did have permission, that means that, first off, that permission is going to be taken away, because that is something they tell you when you sign up to. For those of you who don't know, to be able to ship reptile through FedEx, you have to find a form that FedEx hides very well on their website, because they don't want you to do it. So, and you have to send them a test package. And in this test package, you have several ways you can send them the package. You can send them they say to use a rubber snake or nothing. You can send them it in a snake bag that is zip-tied shut, or you can send them a deli cup, or whatever. So what I did is I sent them the styrofoam box, the styrofoam lined box, with a rubber snake in a snake bag that was tied and zip tied shut. I also sent them a deli cup that had electrical tape with another rubber snake in it. It had electrical tape going around the rim, like you would see some people sell venomous in. So I sent them both, and I got approved. And then they send the package back, along with these forms that you have to sign and fax to FedEx, and then you're allowed to ship the reptiles through FedEx. Even then, they will try to stop you if they can, because they're like, that's not you. I'm like, trust me, I am Owen McIntyre. Really? Yes. It's not under Owen McIntyre. It's under Rogue Reptiles. That's not you. And I know I'm not Rogue Reptiles. I can't be. I am the owner of the company. So it's sometimes you got to do that. And then you're allowed to ship it through. But clearly in the agreement that you signed, FedEx is not liable for death. FedEx is not liable for escapes. FedEx is not liable for anything. They can back over the box if they want to in one of their trucks, and they're like, doop, sorry. So if you violate those rules, though, if you send something venomous, if you send something that escapes, you send something that's not allowed, they automatically strip you of that. And you're no longer allowed to ship.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got the post here, and it's first of all, it wasn't a ship your reptiles shipment.
Thank God.
and the snake was turned over to Fish and Wildlife, and nobody knows who the shipper was. But the snake size, it exceeds what ship your reptiles size limits are, and because of the size and weight. It's not appropriate to ship it in a cardboard box. It should be in a wood crate, like I said earlier, and shipped air freight. A heavy-bodied snake, they're simply too powerful for cardboard. They're going to break through.
They said that a 12-foot anaconda has enough muscle strength and force and weight to it to make it feel like somebody parked a motorcycle on your chest. If it's like what it uses strength, I mean, yeah. So you can just imagine if he really wants to go this way and he really puts himself behind it, flimsy cardboard is not really a way to go.
Yeah, and they didn't put the snake in a bag, which...
again,
that's
kind of
stupid.
It's really easy to foil snakes. A, bag. B, zip tie. C, duct tape. They can't work it. There's a lot of things you can do. I've seen somebody at the show was selling baby imported ball pythons for cobra food. And they had them in this big bin. And the way they kept the ball pythons in is they had packing tape around the lip. So they would come slithering up and their nose would hit the packing tape. And then they just go right back down. Because they couldn't, they get stuck for like a second. Like, ah, and then they go back down. There's like 200 of them in this bin. And I'm like, oh my God. So... yeah, tape. They really can't work it. Of course, I say that, and the baby caramel is loose again.
Oh, no.
3 locks and some duct tape. I don't know how the hell she did it, but for the love of God, I quit.
I think the thing that I worry about with this type of thing is... not so much the
backlash.
I think there will be a little bit of backlash, and of course, you know, there's people out there that want ship reptile business to be done. But I think that when you're dropping off the package at the FedEx office locations and such, they're going to give us a hard time, so it's basically going to make us have to take it to the hubs in order to drop them off.
I already do that. My FedEx store won't take it anyway. I have to drop it straight off at the hub in Fort Washington.
Yeah, which, you know, I guess that just goes with the territory. And I think from what I understand, it's a lot better because then, you know, it's gone. It's very limited in the temperatures of, you know, whether it's hot or cold or whatever the case may be.
Right. And I think you should go straight to the hub regardless because most of the time the hubs have longer hours. So you can drop the baby or the snake or whatever it is you're shipping off as late as 8 o'clock at night. And if it's next day priority, it'll arrive at 10:30 in the morning. So it's a little less time in the box, which is always good.
Yeah, that ultimately is good for the snake. Now, let's see. There's a couple things that, you know, that was one of the things that I actually had on my list to talk about.
Holy crap.
Yeah. And then a lot of polls going on over on the Morelia forum. I don't know.
I've noticed that.
If you've been on there or not. And, the one that caught my eye was the favorite base morph.
Yes. Tiger for the win.
Tigers for you? Yeah, that was for me.
Tiger for the win, yeah.
Unfortunately, not everybody else thinks that way. It looks
who
like,
doesn't think that way? Give me a list of their names.
Yeah. It looks like Tigers are the one that takes the gig.
No, I understand that, but here's the thing, and I'll tell you the reason I like Tigers, not only just as because I'm partial to the stripes, but also for we have yet to see any of the really cool new morphs in Tiger. And it kind of just makes them interesting to me. Like, how would a super, an Exanic Super Tiger look like? Or an Albino Super Tiger? Or really just start getting into it and getting like, the refined breeding. I see like that there is, I know it's a longer haul to get what you want out of the Tiger morph, but I think it's going to be so cool when you get there.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I say it all the time, a super caramel Tiger, that's going to be...
Working on it.
That's going
to... working on it.
That's going to be a badass snake.
I can't wait.
So... mine would be Tiger. I guess if I was going to go second, I probably would go Granite. I think that's probably my...
Now, why Granite?
Well, when I look at the Granite, I just don't see anything else like... I mean, they're very similar to zebras, but they have more of the, the color, earth color tones, I guess, that I like. And I just look at my Granites and I look at the different colors within the scale. And I like the whole idea that, you know, you can go in your snake room at 9 o'clock at night and your snake looks completely different than it did earlier in the day. IJ seemed to go through like a color phase, I guess, throughout the day. I don't know. It's almost, they're almost like mood rings almost, you know?
Oh no, it's bright red. I need to leave her alone.
I don't really see that too much with any of my other carpets as much as I see with IJs.
I think you just are a little too partially IJ there, pal.
Well, it is true. And, I love the IJs, but, I don't know. I remember seeing that when I first got into carpets and I remember seeing that Granite morph and I was like, what the hell is that? That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
And,
Now, you and I haven't really compared your Granites to my Granite. I mean, I know that my Granite has kind of more of a grayish tone to him. And yours, on the other hand, are much more refined. You have that one girl that is stunning. So
yes,
and that's where I would put what I see now. I would not have picked Granite as my next one, but I do enjoy the Granite's basis anyway. just because of the potential of the IJ. Because if you look at IJs as a whole, they're a lot like jungles, with that you have ones that are muddy, brown, black, and speckling things. And then you have the ones that have been refined a little bit more and get a little bit more red. Then you got the ones that got a lot of orange, and you got the ones that are the creamy color. So you can get all these different things. And if you think about it, if the IJ base can be that varied, so can the granite. You can have bright granites. You can have, you know, creamy colored granites. You can have tons of orange in a granite. You can have, you know, mud brown granite. So that, I think, is some of the appeal for the granite for me.
Yeah, I think with the granite, and again, you know, I keep jumping on this bandwagon of refinement and such, but, you know, I look at Julie's, yeah, right. I look at Julie's granite that she had from Peter, and, mm-hmm. you know, that's just a couple of years of refinement, you know, and the results are phenomenal. I mean, I can't imagine when I breed some of my the GQ line, the PC line, you know, all these different lines of IJ into granite. I mean, you're gonna, especially with, like, I can't believe it hasn't been done yet, but the PC line, I mean, imagine a granite but like hypo looking. It's gonna be wild, you know. It's gonna be a cool ass snake.
It is. But,
and then the zebra, super zebra granite.
I don't even know what the hell it's gonna be.
Well, it's the one that looks like the Mac lots.
Oh yeah, okay, right, okay. Yeah, you're my Mac, right? Okay, gotcha. I'm sorry.
You'll just go with the Mac lots python.
Yeah,
right?
Look at my Mac and be like, done.
Yeah, well, I like to keep it in carpet python world. So.
Right, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, but you're right. I that's only through one breeding is what we've seen in that morph. So is the potential for that even greater?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I imagine it's just like any other morph that we've seen. It's like, oh, it's pretty. Now we refine it, and then it's going to get better.
I mean, zebras are the same way.
Exactly.
I love out to zebras. I got to tell you, when we were at Tinley, you know, Jason and Dale Huffman, he had a zebra on his table, and Jason had one that was his holdback. I mean, my God, man, these things were freaking phenomenal. And
I knew
again,
it was going to happen.
What's that?
That it's just going to start getting better with the zebra.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's insane, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really, they were really, really nice. You know, I just see that getting better and better, too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately for, you know, I think with the zebra or a jungle type of mutation, since there's been such refinement in jungles already, it'll make
right.
it easier to, you know. I was talking to Jason about it, and he was saying that he was surprised that the generation that he thought, you know, he thought it would take him a couple generations to really make the his zebras pop. You know, color and all that kind of stuff. And
it only took me one.
It only took one. So, you know, I mean.
Yeah, why not? I mean, and then, well, like, you and I were talking about, you have ivory jungles, and you have, what are those other ones you keep telling me about that I keep forgetting their name? Jungles.
Jungles? The striped jungles?
Well, the striped one, but the other ones you keep telling me about. I don't know if they're a locality or what.
Oh, the Atherton ones?
There you go, the Atherton. Because
yeah.
you and I were talking about that. It's like, you know, ivory hasn't really been crossed in zebra. And I imagine that is where zebra's going to be need to be refined, is that you can cross a zebra with an ivory, but you're going to lose the ivory. And then you're going to have to cross it around and get it back until eventually you get ivory zebras, which
yeah.
are black and whitish. Are cool. And then you keep telling me about the striped ones, which I really hope the stripe does something to the zebra pattern. It'd be so cool if you can get it, like, organized a little bit. It'd be so badass.
Yeah.
I don't think it'd work that way, but it'd be great. But
well, yeah, the idea with that is that, you know, I mean, in my mind, is that I'm also, not only am I trying to cross the different subspecies and try to make core morphs. But the other idea is also to make that same morph without
cooler, yeah.
Frost, you know. So you have a pure zebra tiger, so to speak, you know.
Without doing, without adding coastal blood.
Right, exactly.
Right.
You know,
that's why you had to borrow Havoc at some point, because you don't own a single pure jungle zebra.
No. But I do have minks on loan from Julie. Her I think it's a VPI jungle.
Oh, I have not known this. Who is this thing that's by? You have a zebra?
No. It's a jungle to make zebras. Oh, it's actually zebra tags. So
whoa. We can't take Gypsy, but we can take hers. I see how it is. See,
well,
now there's going to be a fight.
When you decided to go and stay pure, I had to go elsewhere to cross out.
So, Owen, this is your fault.
Yeah, so if you want to stay pure and all that kind of stuff, then so be it, but, you know.
I'll just go find someone who let me be crazy.
The Frankenstein train is going to roll without you, my friend. No, but
fantastic.
I should make some cool ass zebra jags, probably. You know, hopefully.
Why not?
So I'm pretty excited about that. And as far as I'm concerned, basically at that point, that's a pure carpet anyway, because coastals and jungles to me are the same. I know that some people, you know, look at them as localities rather than as something separate. So
convenient for you. So, I'm gonna stay separate. I had to take. Speaking of the season, I'm like, I'm getting revved up. I can't wait. I started cooling down my jungle male to cross in with my female. So I put him in with her to be like, here, you guys can winter together. She scared the shit out of him. he was flying out that cage, and I'm like, okay, maybe we'll just do that later. But I'm getting all revved up. I'm starting to get more excited as I'm moving the Brettles out of the room and all this other crap. I'm like, yeah, breeding season. So.
Yeah, breeding season is basically upon us. I usually start around Halloween, actually.
That's past.
I did do a juggling around to some of my projects. One of the things that I don't know why I didn't think about this earlier.
Don't you hate it when that happens?
Yeah.
Like when you came over and you're like, why don't you breed this jungle with this one? Huh?
Yeah, that's pretty straight ahead.
He's not big enough. Yeah, he is. Oh, shit.
Yeah, I kind of had one of those moments too. So, you know, I'm looking at my different pairings and such and looking at everything. And I have it was my second carpet that I ever got, was my coastal that kind of looks like a high contrast Queensland that came from Jason Balin. And it's a tiger, jag, sib type of thing. But it has the tiger lineage in it.
It's got tiger blood, so it's like a lesser tiger in there.
Yeah.
In there somewhere.
Yeah, it doesn't really have, like, it has more of that aberrant pairing pattern.
But
not really.
I've had great success with these siblings that have tiger blood that aren't tigers in throwing fantastic offspring. I mean,
right.
Echo's mom is a tiger-lined animal. And I actually saw recently pictures of Echo's brothers and sisters that I've sent out, and they all, I mean, God damn it, you can just tiger jag, it fits. But, great experience. They should throw great animals. So what are you doing with it?
Well, you know, I've been thinking about, like, outcrossing.
Uh-oh.
And strengthening, like, you know, making sure that the projects that I'm undertaking is you know, genetically good, you know?
Right, and that's good. I mean, yeah.
So I have this tiger blood coastal that's high yellow, ready to breed, sitting in a cage, and I'm trying to figure out what to put my citrus tiger with. So I'm going to put the citrus tiger with that one. to outcross the citrus tiger a bit and try to add a little more color and try to get a super citrus tiger without having the citrus tiger to citrus tiger type of pairing. So
whatever they're crossing, that would be brother to sister, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so you're trying to outcross.
Eventually, I would like to do that. I mean, I will do that eventually.
It's not too bad.
But this year, I only have a single female from the citrus tiger that's ready to go.
She's busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's busy. So I decided to, you know, I don't know why I didn't think of that. I was just dumb on my part. But, I'm going to do that. And what else was I have my Caramel Jag in with my M-Pen Girl and my Balin Line Tiger. That's going to be super nice.
Both of them at once? All three at once?
All three at once. They're all in the same cage.
My.
Yep. Then I paired up my two M-Pen Coastals.
Yes.
Refine that stripe and get, you know, pretty much a solid stripe. You know what I've noticed, though, as it's getting older, it has the, I don't know about your girl, but my girl has a purple head.
Sonia has yellow, but she does have some purple highlights.
Yeah.
Really? I will definitely give you that. And what's funny is that the babies, Sonia's babies that hatched this year still haven't really gotten in their color, except for one, and that is the caramel that she threw.
Okay.
Oh, holy crap. I don't understand where this, like, this red and this is coming from. The pattern on it looks like, you know, you and I have I have that male caramel that you say kind of looks like one of yours. Very busy pattern.
Right,
male
right.
Caramel. Yeah. The pattern is very, very busy, but you can get the color hints of like red, and you can see some purple in there and a bunch of other stuff. Like, what the hell is coming out of this? And it's just starting to change from the baby caramel red, and starting to get a little bit more goldish to it. Which I imagine is going to head into this horribly ugly phase that caramels go through, and it's going to come out pretty. So I'm excited for that one. And once I track down my camera, I have to post pictures because I promised I was going to do this thing where I was going to pair up a caramel with an unrelated jag, but then that one got loose again. So I didn't. So we'll see.
I think the other, I'm sort of on the fence, like my caramel zebra girl, she's kind of there, she's kind of not there. I'm wondering,
Is it not big enough?
Well, she's right there. She's at, I think she might be at 1950, something like that. She's decent size, but she's right on that cusp, you know.
I push her? Give her a year or get a small clutch. I mean,
yeah, I'm kind of like, you know, do I do it? Do I, you know? And I really would love to see a super caramel, super zebra, but
yeah,
you know, do I do that next year? Or do I do? You know, I'm not really sure where I'm going to go with that. But that leaves me a caramel zebra male, pretty much without anything to go with. So, you know, I'll
give you something. Let me just figure it out. I'll throw you something. Don't you worry.
So yeah, well, I was thinking about putting him with a tiger to see what the caramel
tiger would do,
and zebra go with the tiger without the without the jag blood, you know?
Yeah, because that would, be interesting. Yeah. To be all in all, it would be interesting looking.
Yeah.
So,
we do have a caller. Yeah.
Holy crap. Do we recognize this person? Is this a new one?
It is our good buddy, Howard. What's up, Howard?
Hey. What's going on, guys? I'm glad to hear that you guys made it throughout the storm okay.
Yeah, how did you make out?
Just fine, man. Just fine. No worries. The shop was closed on Monday, and I had an emergency call, so I got to go in and drive through all that monkey business.
Yeah, me too.
Tuesday the shop was still closed, but other than that, around the homestead here, man, the power stayed on, and all the trees behave themselves and are still pointing towards the sky.
Awesome.
So, yeah, I was pretty stoked about that. I had my chainsaw ready to do what it usually does.
Oh, no. Yeah. Powered in a chainsaw. To me, that sounds like danger.
No. It's good. It's chainsaw for a spear later. But anyway.
The chainsaw is only used for good, not for evil.
Yeah, right. Hey, man, I've been a machinist for 16 years now, and I still have all my fingers and toes. So I'm either damn lucky or a pretty good machinist.
I'm going to go with the second.
See, now I'm going to go with the first one, that you're damn lucky. But the Carl get freaked out by the storm at all, or is he good?
Not at all, man. He's solid, man. He's just like, nothing fazes him.
Solid as a cardboard child could
yeah,
be.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's my rock. You know, whenever I get all, you know, mushy or whatever, he's the one there just giving me that look like, sack up, son. I must have missed something about you guys doing a Thursday night format.
Well,
there was
all kind of disasters for us as far as internet goes for Tuesday. And our guest, like I said at the beginning, I hope he's okay, but I haven't heard from him. And we decided, I got a bunch of emails coming in. What happened to the show? What happened to the show? I'm at work and it wasn't the same. And
there's
Wednesday
no
morning. And, you know, and I felt bad and guilty. So, you know, me and Owen decided to just throw in a quick one to give some people some Moralia talk for, you know.
The week, yeah.
Give them their fix for the week, so to speak. So.
You junkies.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear most of the people that I've talked to, everybody made out pretty well as far as their health and property is
mm-hmm,
concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I did hear Greg Madden from Squamata, his concepts is in a spot, man. We're on the street.
Oh.
I heard his place got wiped out.
Oh, man. Really?
Yeah, just
are there albinos loose in New York?
Let's go.
Answer the question. There are 45 albinos loose in New York. If so, someone get me a boat.
Yeah, right.
Is that where he's from?
Is
he from New York?
He's from New York. I don't know. I know the animals were not there at his place.
Okay. I thought he was from Long Island, where if he was, they got wrecked. So,
well, I'm not sure. This is all secondhand information.
Yeah.
So, but
Jesus.
That's what I heard. So definitely all my best selves go out to him and anybody else, for that matter, that has to deal with this monkey business.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of a good topic. I mean, I don't know what you guys did to prepare for this type of event, but you know, what do you do with your collection, and how do you get ready? You know, I think about what happened if it was. Luckily, it wasn't that cold, but you know, a lot of people
like
losing power and such. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's.
Oh, it's dropping 30 degrees around here. If you got no power, you're like my snake room's in the basement. I got no power, and it drops to 30 outside. That room is cold.
You've got
to
at that point, once it drops that low outside, you have a day before
yeah.
the house is going to get down.
Yeah.
Right. Personally, I have a generator.
Right.
That I'll, you know, if need be, I can power the animals and, you know, my fridge and freezer.
Right.
I know how to put on clothes. Okay, I can get warm. I'm not worried about myself.
Let me ask you this: what size generator are you getting to keep your collection going?
It's a 5,500 watt.
Okay.
It's not like Mo has a full house generator. She's got it totally loaded. She's ready.
Jeez.
Oh, okay.
So, see, I would have put the snakes in a car.
Well, you know, snakes get cold. They lose the yellow, you know, so.
That does happen. Yeah, I'm told. Yeah. They need their sunlight. Otherwise, they just start turning green. So,
right.
But I am getting a generator because I've had it with this nonsense of storms coming. Oh, God, I hope it holds. And there was one time where we did lose power and I had an incubator full of eggs. And I had to use a server battery backup that my computer guy friend down the street had to power the incubator to be like, oh, for the love of God. So I am definitely getting one. But my backup plan of late was fill up the car full of gas, don't use it, and if I need to, put the snakes in bins, put them in the car, and crank the car heater up, and then just keep refueling the car. So hopefully it's a bad idea.
Hop in the car and find a hotel.
Yeah, that was another option, too.
Drive till you find a hotel. But that was my main reason behind purchasing that generator. It is, you know, with the spring storms and everything else, when we have clutches on the ground, is the rest of my snakes can get cold. Their temperature can get wonky down to, you know, 70 or whatever in the springtime. No, who cares? But it's those eggs.
The eggs, yeah.
So that was my main reason for purchasing, was just to power that incubator.
Yeah.
And I mean, from everything that I've heard, this winter is going to probably be a bad winter.
I think it is. If it's getting this cold already, now I know we had snow last October, and everybody was like, "Holy crap!" And then only we had snow again until up in Pennsylvania. I don't think we had it at all.
Maybe
like February. But. I don't know. I think I just feel it. Is we're going to get it pretty bad this year, so I'm definitely going
to
get that.
Which is good for. I think that's really good for the breeding, but
it is. But
you just have to make sure you have a backup plan as far as
double-edged sword. There, you know, it's great for the breeding until everything freezes. Damn. So it's yeah.
From what I've heard, but between the reports and everything about it being a bad winter. Looking at all the animals and their behavior. You know, I've seen a lot of deer moving around earlier than they usually do.
Yeah, that's true.
And also, and so did you, Eric. But anyway.
yeah, I was just going to say that, but I knew somebody else was going
to. That thing was moving all over the place until he did it.
That's right. And also, like, the squirrels, man, are just going mad with, you know, collecting food and everything.
Yeah, I will say that I did notice my snakes were out and about right before the storm was coming in. I think that I really believe that pressure really gets them going, you know. They really know something's coming, so, yeah.
What I'm hoping to catch my IJs do something, but they were just, I guess, I wasn't here, so hell if I know if they did anything.
You bring up a good point with that, Eric. From what I heard is that the barometric pressure was at an all-time low. And I think the lowest was 942 millibars, and it was down to 940.
Yes.
And that totally kicked off a bunch of my males just cruising around. And I know Sunday I was vending a show down in Richmond, and I guess Thursday through Monday, my knee was just screaming. I guess I'm old enough to that point where I can say I can feel it in my bones. Who the hell knows? Now that the storm's passed, man, my knee's peachy.
And yeah.
So when my knee hurts and my nails start moving around, it's time to pair them up.
There you go. I'm going to be calling you. How's your knee today?
Yeah, how is your knee?
<All right. laughs> How's the knee, Howard?
Cool.
But yeah, I think I'm out to I'm doing a I don't want to say scientific type of thing, but I definitely am recording the barometric pressure, and when I see the males lock up and those type of different
actions this breeding season to try to give me a better idea of what gets these guys going, you know?
So. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, and that's one more thing that maybe somebody else hasn't looked at and or thought about and to make notes of.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just a nerd, man, so, you know, I need something to keep my nerd nerd abilities going, so.
Yeah, I know last year we had a nor'easter come through, and I popped my males in, and whammo, within a couple of days, everybody was locked.
Wow.
Ready to go.
Whether,
now, Howard, when do you pair?
Pardon?
When do you pair up? When do you put them together? Are they together now? Or
No, I don't have anybody together now. Typically, I start cooling in November. I started early this year. I started as soon as I got back from Tinley, I started.
Yeah,
I did too. To drop it down a little bit. And I'm trying something a little bit different this year. Typically, I just keep the daytime at its, you know, 87.5, 88 degrees, and then do the nighttime drop. This time, the way I use Herpistas and the way I have it set up is there's a daytime temperature, and then the nighttime temperature will be, say, 5 degrees less.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In the past, I just dropped that nighttime temperature lower and lower and lower. You know, 6 degrees, 8 degrees, 10 degrees. What I'm doing this year is I've dropped my daytime temperature down, which has also, you know, brought down my nighttime temperature the way that bread is. But I brought my daytime temperature down, and I'm leaving it right at 85. And then from now on, I'm just going to drop down my night temperature.
Yeah, that is exactly what I'm doing.
And my theory behind it is, obviously, if it gets cooler, it's going to be cooler during the daytime. You know, you're not going to get those peaks in between. You know, you're not going to have them drop down to 78 at night and then warm back up to 90 for them to have a hot spot.
Right.
So I'll keep that a little bit, the daytime heat still there, so they can, you know, process everything and they can get, you know, warmed up, but then drop that temperature down.
How low are you going to let the temp go?
I'll let it go to 70.
Okay.
68, 70, whatever. Most likely 70. I don't know. I could probably drop it down cooler and my gas bill would be lighter, but I'd be uncomfortable. So,
right.
You know, just the way my house is. But I was thinking about it. I guess today with the way. Damn it! I lost it.
It's over.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you
asked me a question and completely threw me off.
Damn it, Owen.
I'm sorry. It was I totally agree with what you're doing though. I think I got my temps at the same that you got, and I'm dropping most of mine down lower. So I'm keeping my IJs up a little bit warmer, and then of course the brettles are like I'm gonna bury them in the snow when it comes, in order to get them to breed, I guess. So we'll figure that out later.
Well, in the past, I haven't seen any locks until mid-January.
Yeah, me either.
But I usually don't introduce my animals until I'm, you know, they're solidly cooled, you know, for 3 weeks, until they're at that low temperature for 3 weeks. And then I start pairing them up. This year I'm trying to pair them up early just in case I see anything.
Right. Now, well, this short person that I know got me freaked out about my IJs, about missing the window of their breeding. So they're together, and they're
I was just going to tell you that I was looking at my records from last year, and I start cooling Halloween. I don't know why I picked that date, but that's the date I pick. And
so you avoid giving candy at the trick-or-treaters because you're downstairs. That's why.
Yeah, cooling down the snakes.
Yeah.
And basically what I did is the same thing of what you're saying is I don't do any – again, I go back to the – I don't really run a hotspot. My room is just – it's about 82. Sometimes if it's a little warmer outside, it might go up to 84. If it's a little cooler, it might go down to 81. But it fluctuates within that temp. And at night, I just cut the heat off, and the room is what it is. It could go down as low as, I don't know, 65. And my thinking is that the snake is able to get that body temperature back up. As long as they're able to get it back up, that's what they go through in the wild. It's not like they have heat at night. It is what it is, you know. It's cold at night, you know, especially for some of the, you know, like brettles and stuff like that that are out in the desert exposed to those type of temps. One of the interesting thing though is that I had lockups at middle November for my IJs.
From your IJs? Well, IJs go early, don't they? A lot of the other species, they tend to go earlier, don't they?
They usually go first, from what I've heard, and obviously that's what happened with me. I guess the thinking is they're closer to the equator, so they don't need as much of a fluctuation in temperature, because it's pretty much just a solid temperature there. It doesn't really go up or down. I don't know if that's true or not true, but they seem to go first. They did with mine. I only have one pair that I did last year, so I can't really say that definitively, but that's what it was.
Well,
now I did listen to an episode of Reptile Radio last week, and you know, they were talking ball pythons, but still pythons and the whole temperature thing. An interesting thing was Mark Mandick, I think his name is. He's from Canada, and he breeds ball pythons. And he had a 41% slug ratio last year. So one of the things that he looked at was the temperature. And believe it or not, he sort of went into the Terry Phillip method type of thing, kind of like what we're doing, made it much cooler. He still had a hot spot, but, you know, he was running his hot spot at like 88 degrees, 90 degrees. Ambient temp was like, 84. But when you had that many snakes in the room, obviously the temps would fluctuate higher. He did notice that lowering the temperature, his slug ratio went down the following year. I don't think that they need – and you know what? It kind of makes sense. One of the points that he brought up is, like, you look at mammals and you think of a bull, and this is what he used. Now, the testicles of a bull, where are they? They're outside of the body. Why? Why are they outside of the body? Because if they're inside the body – yes, exactly.
They can't thermoregulate.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense that way, and the way I thought is, like, you know, is it the male or is it the female or is it both? You know, like, what temperature is she seeking out? Is she reabsorbing those follicles? Because what he also noticed is that he was seeing the follicles reabsorb once he raised the temperature too hot. So a lot of these ball python guys are keeping it cooler so that they don't reabsorb those follicles. I thought it was pretty interesting, you know, so...
I'm glad that conversation about bull nuts went in that direction. Anyway.
Yeah, me too, yeah. I wasn't really sure you're going with that, but
yeah,
I was sure you
right.
Hey, think about bull nuts. Go
again. Yeah. Think about bull testicles is.
Oh, God.
Yeah, if you have a chance, yeah, go listen to it on Reptile Radio. It's pretty interesting conversation about temps and breeding and such. And, you know, like I said, even though they were taking ball pythons, I take little bits of information from all different kind of breeders and try to think about it in carpet python world type of thing. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, adapt whatever you can to, you know, what will suit, you know, whatever species you're breeding.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely.
the one thing that I thought of that I thought of again, and I'm pretty happy about it, is the when that temperature drops in the evening, it's not like it cuts from 85 to 72.
Right.
You know, you still have that heat in there. The heating element is still warm, so it's going to drop down slowly, and it's going to warm back up just like it would naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So that was, that it seems pretty obvious, but it kind of hit home once I started thinking about it. You drop them this low, you drop them to, 68 degrees, 66 degrees, and you're like, holy shit, that's freezing. But they're down there for what, an hour or two?
Yeah.
If it even gets that low. So I don't see, as long as it's regulated, I don't see that there's going to be any, issues or health concerns. And then there's other folks that don't cool at all.
Yeah.
I'm kind of going to go, and again, I say that, when I say don't cool, usually the way I take that is that they're not really manipulating their temperatures. What they're doing is they're just letting the actual room cools down a bit. Obviously, if you're in a cold spot, the house gets a little colder, and so does your snake room get a little colder. But I kind of am just going to float around in that 80-degree temp and see what happens this season. See if I have success, So we shall see.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah.
No later.
What pairings do you got going on, Howard? What are you doing this year? Anything exciting?
What am I doing this year? Is it bad that I got to walk into my room to figure out what I'm doing?
No.
I don't know either.
I am doing a Vermelia Jag to a Balin Tiger Jag Sib.
Hey, that's going to be cool.
I have a two Jungle Girls that hopefully one of my curtain males kind of take care of both of those ladies for me. And then I have a female scattershot sister is currently at Balin's house being spurred by his zebra.
Nice.
Cool.
Right. And so she threw some Steve, I can't remember his name, S-E-K, Steve Kelly, I believe. I might be wrong there. S-E-K Exotics. Anyway, he had her, and he produced an incredible animal, incredible hatchling this past year. So I was able to pick her up from him, and so there'll be some zebras on the ground, hopefully, but you know how that goes, maybe, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I have a couple other animals that are kind of on the edge of size that I'm just going to wait and give them a year. I also have a striped coastal from Mark Buhali that I'm going to put with a tiger jag.
Awesome.
Oh, cool. And see what we get out of there. Yeah.
Awesome. That's a pretty solid pairing, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it, nothing mind blowing, but it should be happy enough around here.
Lots of babies, yeah. See, I'm a glutton for punishment, because I am. I have that 10-foot girl that throws 50 something eggs. I somehow have found another one, so.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, same size, all that stuff. So we're going to see if maybe I can get 100x out of two cards in my box.
Oh, jeez.
I may be asking for help or help finding my sanity. We'll see.
Are you laughing right now, or are you starting to cry a little bit there?
It was on the verge, whether you're just going to keep laughing.
I'll start crying when I see the incubator full of eggs going, shit. That's how it normally happens. I usually get all the eggs in the incubator, and I go, oh, crap, I don't have cages. I have to sell some things quick or I am screwed. So that's normally we have a sale every spring because I need to make room. So
the old make room sale.
Yeah, the old make room sale.
Your best make room sale in the spring? Kinley.
I know. All right, I told you.
I'm just saying, man. If you can't make it in the fall because you got work, then
spring.
You know, and when you ask for leave, you guys go about this all the wrong way. When I put in for leave, When I put in for leave, it's like, hey, this weekend, you know, I'm not going to be here. Well, okay, well, fill out the form. Okay, so I fill out the form. And they're saying like, oh, what are you doing? Snake show? Oh, okay. Well, I'll have to look at the calendar. Planes booked, hotels booked. I'm not going to be here. Oh, okay.
Oh, well, all right.
They sign off on it. It's like, dude, it's booked. You can sign it or not. I'm not going to be here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good plan.
Problem solved. And it's worked for 16 years now, so what the hell?
Jeez.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I hope that I can make it out to Tinley in the spring. I think
you have to. If I can make it out to the spring one, you have to too. Come on now.
Yeah, I definitely can get off. It's not a matter of that. It's just.
Yeah, I have to figure out when it is so I can request off.
Do they have a date for that yet, Howard? Do you know?
I do not know. I'm sure they probably do.
Okay.
I'd imagine so. I mean, it's only, 5 months away? It's in March.
Yeah, absolutely. It's crazy that it's so soon.
Mm-hmm.
So, it'll be here before we know it. Go ahead.
You'll recover from this past Tinley by then. Don't worry.
Good point.
That's why they only do it twice a year, because that's all the normal man can handle.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I was telling Owen, I said,
superhuman.
I don't think I have to do any other reptile shows. I would just do those two, and that would be it. I'm done. Yeah,
it's fun, man. It's just one of those shows, and I enjoy it because, you know, I didn't do spectacular at that show, but I get to see people that I see once or twice a year.
Yeah.
And spend time with them and BS, you know, that's what makes it for me. Because I always, that money is allotted, I'm already going to go there, I'm already going to do it, so it's not an issue. Any money I make in the process is just great.
Yeah, just icing on the cake, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it definitely was. I think that was probably my most, if I would say anything was the best that I took from Tinley was definitely that. I really enjoyed the after hours, so to speak, the hanging out, you know, kicking back talking with, I spent a lot of my time talking with Dave Diamond, you know, and just the conversations we had and, you know, then, you know, Saturday night was all of, you know, it was basically like the carpet python people were there, you know, and just talking with us, Howard and Jason and Mo, and, you know, it was a really good, Luke, you know, a good time. I don't know. I just really enjoyed the company.
Yeah.
You know?
It's the FaceTime, you know,
yeah.
and hence, you know, Carpet Fest.
Yes.
You know, it's that same thing. You don't have to worry about, you know, being active and showing your presence and educating people. You can, you know, educate yourself and you know, others as well, but throughout the community.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, I felt like when I was sitting there with Jason and when we went out to dinner, here's a guy that, you know, when I first got into carpet pythons, was kind of like, I say this, I don't know how else to say it, but it's like
Jason, turn up your radio.
It's like
there you go.
Rock star status. You know what I'm saying? like you hear his name about everywhere you go. You hear this guy's name, you know, and it's kind of like, oh wow, this guy must be somebody important. And you know, here I am and talking, and he's giving me like the story of when he started out, and like, you know, that backstory that you can't get from the forum, you can't get from you know, a 5-minute talk at a reptile show or something. But you know, when you're actually sitting down there and you're talking to somebody and you're figuring out, you know, like and figuring out their what really got them into it and what's their passions and what they dig, and you know what I mean, it's really good to it's just a good experience. And you know, it's like I said, it's almost like sitting down, it's like that rock star status, you know. I'm sitting at a table full of people that are like carpet python, you know, masters, so to speak, and you know, they've been doing this for a long time, and it just, you know, it's humbling, I guess is the word, you know. That's what I get from it, you know.
But the thing of that is that they're background story isn't that much different than anyone else's or yours or mine for that matter.
Yeah, you're right. And it's kind of like, you know, you're putting it and you're hearing it, and I guess it makes you feel better about where you, well, at least with me, it made me feel better about, you know, oh wow, this guy did start out this way and started out the same way that I did, you know, and all these different things. And I don't know, it's just, and the other thing is that, you know, again, being around the reptile business for a long time, maybe not as a breeder, but as a customer and as a keeper and such, I can say that. And the other thing that drew me to like carpet pythons and such is that they're just generally good people. You know, I just really felt that I was in the presence of really, just really nice people. You know,
right.
And then there's Howard and Carl.
Right, the south side of it.
Well, yeah.
Which I've threatened
Ying
to bring a cardboard cut out the wood.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course, of course.
You know, so I don't know. It's just a good time, but
of course.
Yeah,
I have to go. It's done. Damn it.
Yeah, it's definitely a good time. Definitely a good time. And I'd like to. I don't know if you've touched on this before. I've been really busy at work and slacking for the most part. Northwest Carpet Fest.
Yes.
Isn't that some crap?
Yeah.
They called us a bunch of hooligans, and I'm like, well, I don't know. I don't know whether to be insulted or not, or if it's
we
are.
The term was degenerates.
Degenerates.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, it's a degenerate. And I'm like,
assured them that the level of degeneration is directly proportionate to the alcohol consumption, and I'm sure they're not that different than us. However, I'm going to go and find out.
You're going to go?
Yeah, I'm going.
Oh well, shit!
I already got a place to stay. Somebody was nice enough to say, "Boy, howdy, come on out." So
wow.
I'm going to Seattle and fly on out there and check it out and represent us degenerates. And
I want you I want you in every picture just to be flashing an East Coast symbol, like gang symbol.
Oh. I don't know any.
Oh, damn it, neither do I.
But,
all right, just wear your East Coast shirt and we're good.
So I'll just have to, you know, there'll have to be some kind of disclaimer that I'm representing myself and not the, you know, the East Coast carpet. I'm the
Ballard is no way affiliated with.
No,
right.
Oh, hell no. I'm just, from this point on now, I'd be like, and we're going to send East Coast Representative Howard every show. I'm going to end with it. Are you kidding me? Good luck getting away from it now.
Right. Not the degenerate. I mean, I will be the degenerate poster child of the Northeast.
And that's why we love you. We just send you out there and you do crazy shit and then you come back. I mean, and it's funny. So.
Well, that's cool. I definitely would love to go. I had mentioned to Heather that if I could, I definitely would want to head out, but you know, I don't know how feasible that is. But who knows?
Yeah, it's hard to swing. I understand that. Even looking at flights and everything else, it's just the hours are completely messed up.
Wow.
they want to fly me from BWI to Dallas Fort Worth to Seattle.
Jesus.
Oh, wow.
And no, I was like, no directs, I guess.
No, not that I can afford. Good Lord. But they did have one from here to Detroit, which was,
right.
We'll see. Okay. We'll see. That's not until June sometime.
Yeah. And they're going to have some pretty cool, well, Nick will be there and Justin will be there and Terry will be there. And
you know. Are you going to be bidding on their, I assume that they're doing an auction for US ARC. Are you gonna
but I think they're doing something a little different. They're doing a what did I read? Not so much an auction, but a
lottery.
Yeah,
lottery.
Is that what it is? A lottery.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They're kind of. I guess like
a raffle type thing.
Potluck type of thing. Yeah, raffle. That was it. You know,
okay.
You buy X amount of tickets for this is prize one and
right,
it's prize two. Which isn't a bad idea. You know?
It's not a bad idea. I mean, are you going to be going out there with the intent of throwing some tickets in? Or is it just going to happen like your purchase of the Red Tiger at the East Coast auction just kind of freaking happened?
No, I'm going to bring back a T-shirt and a hangover, and that's about it.
Yeah. Make sure Carl stays at home.
Yeah, leave his ass here.
Yeah, right. I got to buy him a whole nother seat because
if you buy him a seat on the plane, now that's going to be the icing on the cake.
I just want one picture of Howard putting Carl in an overhead storage bin in a plane. I think I'd be, here you go, buddy. I'd die. Perfect.
Can you see Howard on the plane saying, excuse me, miss, if I give you this $20, would you just get up for a minute so I can put my cardboard on here?
Child,
take a picture of him real quick. And he can just sit in your seat. Just $20. It'll just be a couple minutes. Yeah.
5 minutes. Please.
Yeah. All right, Mel, go ahead. Shoot the pictures. Go.
Yeah, right. Okay, so who's posting my bail? That's what I want to know.
Eric. Eric is posting your bail. I am not, for I am poor. So...
But yeah, that should be cool. I'm glad that we were able to start the craze. And who knows, maybe we can do an event where we meet in the middle or something, you know?
Terry's place.
Yeah, Tinley.
You meet us once, you know? Well, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So, no, it's we'll have to have Howard come back after the West Coast dealie and tell us how it went. And then we'll have to get probably get one of the West Coast the organizers for the West Coast, I'd like to get one of them on to talk about it. Maybe we'll steal some ideas.
Yeah, I talked to Heather, and I got to get the info and all, and we're going to put it up on the Carpet Fest website.
Awesome.
And all that stuff, so it should be good.
Cool. We're starting a craze.
Yeah. Cool. So.
It had to be done, definitely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good for them. I'm glad that they did it. Yeah.
So. Waiting for all points of the compass. South, north, middle. Let's go.
But it all started with the northeast.
Well, of course it did.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Sorry. No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that there's also there's a lot of carpet breeders, you know, on the East Coast.
Now, yeah.
Yeah, you know. It seems that that's the case. I didn't realize how many people were East Coast.
I was in Tinley. I was in Tinley last year, the year before, and somebody said something to me about that, about, you know, like the East Coast being the mecca of carpet python breeders. And I never really thought of it, but there's a lot of, you know, well-known breeders, but they're all, you know, spread out throughout the states. But you know, really, when you look at the numbers and everything, there's a lot of carpet breeders on the East Coast. The majority of them on the East Coast.
Yeah, that is. I think that is somewhat true. I mean, especially because a lot of some of the bigger names were on the East Coast. I mean, Jason's here, and then Will Leary is East Coast, and now Ben has come over. So it's kind of like a
half of all the addiction. So it's getting to be a little interesting over here. Of course, mm-hmm. I'm over here, and that's fantastic. So
thank God.
Easy.
That is how I would describe it. Fantastic.
Thank you for being kind.
I got a quick question for you, Howard. They have these polls that are shooting up all over the forum and such. Favorite base morph of carpet python, what would you go with?
Look, Chris Behoff needs to get a day job or something.
I think someone said that already. He's like, I work at a desk most days. So I'm like, okay.
There you go.
What is my favorite base morph?
Yeah.
I really dig the tigers, but I think with it being polygenic that it's just, you know, there's only so much you can do with that.
Okay.
So I'd have to go with the jag because you can go anywhere with it. I choose not to go anywhere with it, but, you know, except for, you know.
Stay put.
Well, I'm not doing, you know, I'm doing tiger jags. I'm just doing coastal jags.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay.
I'm not doing, you know, jungles or albinos or, you know, whatever else there may be. But
right.
I definitely have to say that I really like the tigers, but I'd have to say the most versatile, the most adaptive one is jaguars.
Now, if you're just doing coastal morphs, does that mean you would eventually go into exotic jags because it's all coastal?
I don't know because for me, where do I go from there?
Eric,
hey,
we can hear
Zach?
You.
Hold on, I'll put you in 1 second. You want to come
Eric,
on?
We can hear you.
Yeah, hold on 1 second.
Oh, for the love of God.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Eric.
Sorry. We don't need him.
Yeah, absolutely. Give me 1 second. Right now,
we don't need him because he can't push buttons right.
when he agrees, then you can't argue with it.
No, you can't.
No. He said, absolutely. He said, well, okay.
Well, of course
so.
He did, yeah.
There you go.
The welcome to Morelia Radio, folks. This is your host, Howard Redding, and Owen McIntyre.
McIntyre. I
love
the perfect.
Oh, because
of Howard. What?
Yeah, I went in. Oh, wait a minute.
Now you've messed everything up.
What did I do? What did I miss?
We could hear you.
Not a thing.
Oh, you could hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, what an ass.
Oh, don't worry.
I
tried to talk over you.
You know what it is?
What?
This. Whenever I'm doing this, every once in a while, you know, I've told you this 1,000 times, Owen, but I use a headset, right? And every once in a while, the headset, it gets like this computer voice. And I can't make out a goddamn thing that anybody's saying. So I got my cell phone on the side, and I call in on the cell phone. So I had that unmuted. And then there's like this feature, right, that I can go, and if somebody calls in, I can go and put them in a separate room. And basically at that point, it's just me and that person talking, and I can talk to them. And, you know, but I didn't realize that I didn't mute my cell phone.
Eric, we can hear you, Eric. And
yeah.
I was like, screw him, we don't need him. Don't worry about it.
You didn't miss anything. You're fired, and I took your job. That's
yeah.
all that happened.
Fair enough.
Yeah, we've taken the radio show that you started.
Yeah.
So
who are you talking to? Get him on the air.
Yeah, I'm gonna click him on now. It's Zach. Zach.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you guys doing?
Pretty good.
We're hanging in there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have a question. I have more of a comment. You guys were saying that the IJs start, you know, are starting real early, but I had October 10th, I had my jungles lock up, which was pretty crazy because I wasn't planning. I haven't even started cooling. They were together for the past 6 months about, and we had those here in PA. We had those 3 days of really cold. I think it was from the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th were really cold. and they locked up. And I was surprised. I actually sent Eric a picture of it. I was like, am I seeing what I think I'm seeing? Because it was my first year. So he said, yeah, you are seeing that correctly. It was pretty crazy. I'm kicking myself because I wish I would have had my other pair together because maybe something would have happened.
Well, now comes if it was a viable lock. I mean, hopefully it was. See, now, if you see locks like that, Howard, Eric, I mean, do you start warming up? Like, do you let the girl chill down there knowing that she could possibly be already cooking up some eggs, or you start warming her up?
No, let it go, man.
Let it ride?
Let it ride because, you know, whatever, you know, sperm is introduced, you know, they can hold it. There's, you know, snakes that, you know, will retain sperm for,
right,
you know, for quite a while. So it's just a matter of time once she, you know, develops everything, you know, and
so
if that's the case, you know, at that point, then, you know, the sperm will be, you know, introduced to the eggs. So, yeah, I'd let it ride. I mean, they're locked. That's what you're trying to get them to do.
That's a huge plus, yeah.
Let it go, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I'm hoping this is, you know, a precursor to things to come, you know what I mean?
I think where you begin, yeah.
I think the one thing that strikes me is, like, you know, often we try to think, and even myself, it's like, okay, I have this specific date in mind to when the snakes are going to breed, not really caring about what the snakes think. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm just going to start breeding on such and such a day, and this is when I'm going to cool, and this is what I'm going to do, and I'm only going to cool for this long, and then I'm going to warm back up, or whatever the case may be. And I think a lot of breeders approach that way. But one of the things that I see by seeing what happened with you, Zach, is that, you know, let the snakes tell you what they want, you know?
Gotcha.
They know best.
Gotcha. Yeah.
If they feel it's appropriate to breed, obviously they did, and for whatever reason.
Knock yourselves out, guys.
You know,
yeah.
I think the female has to give off some kind of pheromones or, you know, something that tells the male that, hey, it's a good time for breeding, you know, and definitely he picked up on it. Whether it's the, you know, how is your setup in your room? Give us a rundown of what you got, like temp wise.
Well,
what are you doing?
Well, temp wise, I kind of, because I have quite a large window in the room, I get a lot of sunlight during the early morning, and so the room naturally during September and most of October it was around 80. 82. It could get up to 85 during the day. They had about an 87 degree hot spot in their cages, but it was weird because that cold front came in, and it was not only that, it was really cloudy, so I didn't get a lot of sun coming through the windows, so it really cooled down quite quickly. And I put on the space heater to try to warm it up, but I guess, I don't know, maybe I was too slow, or maybe, you know, it was perfect timing, I guess. But right now I'm trying to figure out exactly how I want to go through cooling them down. I think my general idea is bringing the whole room down to about 75 and just cutting off their heat at night. And that's kind of what I'm thinking about doing now is generally my idea. And hopefully that does something. Because the room didn't go down too much. I didn't allow it to go down too much. So I thought it was kind of weird that it happened so quickly like that.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very cool. Huh. Interesting. Now, when does the female try, did you notice if she was going towards the heat or staying away from the heat?
Actually, recently, all my two big females actually are sitting, they're actually been sitting near the heat during the day, which they usually don't. So I thought that was kind of odd. They started doing that recently. I don't know what's going on, really.
Hmm. Wow. I don't know.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Awesome.
Always throwing for a loop.
I just look at it that, you know, you talk about that, you know, Eric, you talk about the snakes will, you know, tell you what they want or what they need. And the way I look at it is they've been doing it for 180 million years. I'm only 35, and I've only been doing it for a handful of years. So, yeah, they got me trumped. You know, whatever, guys.
you put them together, you lock them up. A lot of people, like Terry was saying, that, you know, they'll do it year-round and periodically check, you know, follicular development. And, you know, they'll ultrasound and check out the, you know, what, once they start developing, what size they are and when the premium time is. But most of us do not have, you know, access to, you know, ultrasound machines.
Right.
I think one of the things that he hit on, if you remember, Howard, he was talking about how he follows the shed cycles, which I thought was pretty interesting. Like, I guess he must be able to coordinate the two by looking at the follicles and the development on the ultrasound, to where he doesn't really pay attention to the ultrasound as much anymore because he was watching what was going on with the shed and then sort of putting the two together. Now he just watches the shed cycle and sort of gives him an idea of what's going on with the girl. That was pretty interesting.
Right, right. And that's awesome, but I think, you know, me personally, it's my shed cycles. I don't know how that relates to, you know, my feeding regimen and what, you know, growth stage they're in, but
right.
I believe with him, you know, having that experience, being able to see how their follicular development is and then how it corresponds with their shed cycle, then you can find that baseline to say, okay, well, the sheds are, you know, this far apart or they're happening at this time after a meal or whatever. Then there's that correlation. And then once you got that down, like obviously he does, then you say, okay, well, this pattern's happening, whammo, throw them together.
Right. Yeah, I do notice, I don't know if I've mentioned this ever on the show before, and maybe you guys can comment as well. The only time I ever see any of my snakes going towards the warmer spot of the tub, because I have the space heater set up, obviously the heater towards the front of the tub is a little bit warmer than towards the back of the tub.
Right.
So I notice that when they're in that shed cycle, they hug the front of the tub, and they're always looking to warm up. They're always at a higher temperature. And, you know, I was talking to Nick about it, and he was sort of saying that maybe that the heat speeds up the process, and they're trying to get out of that process as fast as possible because, you know, obviously in the wild, they could be in danger during a shed because
right.
They can't see.
Predatory response.
Yeah, so they're trying to move out of that as fast as possible, which I thought was really cool. You know,
here's my question, Eric. Do you find that your snakes, being that you keep them at a lower temperature than most, do you find that they shed at a slower rate, or you don't really know, being that you don't have the comparison?
My snakes do not shed that often. No, absolutely not. And what I've noticed is I don't really feed that heavy.
There it is.
Right?
Right.
But
That was what I was going to say.
Yeah, I can tell you this.
The cycle is tied in with the shed cycle. I mean, I feed once a week, and my guys will usually shed once a month, maybe a little bit more when they're babies.
Yeah. And yeah. I can tell you this. It's like I feed – you know, like take my adults. I may go, I don't know, maybe a month, maybe a month and a half sometimes. You know, who knows? It could be, you know, like I try to make it so that throughout the springtime, they're not getting as much. As soon as I start to go into the summer, I may make it a little more frequent, growing all the way up into the fall. And then start the fall, I really don't feed at all. But I do notice that as soon as I feed, within maybe 7 days, they're in a shed cycle.
Huh.
Right, right. How long does it take them to get out of the cycle? You know what I mean? Like, is it a whole week long affair? Is it a couple of days? Because I find that some snakes shed quicker than others. And I wonder if
that's the individual.
You think that's more individual?
I think
that's
more individual.
Absolutely.
I have some snakes that can blow right through their shed, and I have some that really, really hang on to it until I'm like, God, have you shed your skin yet? And then, bam, it's like, oh, there it is. So.
Right. Okay.
So.
I would probably agree with that. I think my snakes generally, like, I look at my snake room, and pretty much for the most part, I think my snakes are all timed the same. I don't know if you guys have the similar thing. Like, it's almost like a find-run machine type of thing. You know what I mean? Like, they're all going to X amount of days they shed, you know. I would say it's probably a week, maybe.
Dude, you have that synchronized. That's awesome. How'd you do that?
They
all peel at once.
Yeah. Well, it is. It's actually true. And actually, my snakes... it's funny that you're here, Zach, because you had that post on the forum where we're talking about snakes going to the bathroom, time with their shed, and that's pretty much
right.
What happens with mine.
Which God, I love that.
Makes
I love
cleaning,
it when they do
cleaning
that.
A breeze, you know what I mean? It's like, woo! I
love that.
You know?
Just go.
So.
Yeah, yeah.
So, who knows? Like I said, I'm trying to... that's kind of the idea of what I want to, you know, me and Luke were talking about it pretty extensively on our 15-hour trip back home.
It could have been shorter.
Yeah. Next time I'm just hitching a truck to Howard's truck, and he's just going to haul me.
Yeah.
But, you know, we were talking about, coming up with these little projects every season. And since we're all kind of on the East Coast, we all kind of have the same type of weather. You know, and seeing if it corresponds with doing, you know, I don't even know, just different things like, seeing what the shed cycle is, following it for a couple months and following the same feeding and trying to figure it out a little more, if that makes sense. So.
Yeah. And that's key is, you know, talking to people in that, you know, the same area that where there's. For that to be a variance, you talk about pressure, barometric pressure, and everything else, and your feeding regimens. Like, I'll talk to Jason and Mo all the time, and we're all within, you know, pretty much an hour of each other.
Right.
And we all have, you know, similar, you know, styles of husbandry.
Right.
And I'll say something to Jason. He's like, oh, yeah, that's what happens. I was like, well, what about this? He's like, oh, yeah. Okay,
right.
So I'm not no. It's cool. Carry on. Okay.
Anything? Can you give me anything besides no? You're good. No.
Right.
Thank you. I think so.
Yeah. So I don't know. That kind of stuff fascinates me, just to see, like, you know, because sometimes, like I said, sometimes I think that we're thinking it's one thing when maybe it really is not. I mean, ultimately, carpet pythons are pretty easy to breed. You know, it's not like it's we're not unlocking some kind of secret or something. But
I think the only thing easier is a corn snake, and I honestly don't even try. I'm like,
yeah.
And you're together, boom, eggs, yay!
You're gonna Zach's gonna feel really bad if, you know, he doesn't have success this season because you're saying better than a corn snake to breed.
Are you serious?
I feel like crap. Yep. You guys. And everybody's telling me it's so easy. It's like, well, I haven't done it yet, so I don't know how easy it is. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know.
This is the thing. And this is the other thing. And I've probably said this to every customer who's ever bought a corn snake from me, and I apologize in advance if you are listening and you bought one and it has died. Because I will
say,
you really can't kill this thing. It's a native species. If you do, you tried very hard to do so. I mean... honest to God, I don't try. I just throw the corn snakes together, and they breed. I don't even cool them. I just put them in. My baby corn snakes have no heat on them right now. They're doing fine. So,
I think, Zach, don't get – I can tell you this. Like, I kind of – like, the first time – and I don't know about Owen or Howard, maybe. I'm in on this. You know, Howard's super lucky guy, so maybe he didn't have this. But the first year that I went to breed, I saw lockups. I was super excited, and I got nothing.
I remember
this.
I
got absolutely nothing.
You were
so
depressed.
Yeah, I was, because I'm thinking, geez, man, you know, like, maybe
why
I can't do this. Maybe I just got all these cool carpet morphs to look at or something, like, you know. Because I can't breed them. You know?
They're awful pretty, but Jesus Christ.
But I will say that one of the, you know, one of the most exciting times so far with keeping snakes or anything with snakes was that first breeding season when, you know, because you're going, you keep the snake, you've been successful with raising it up, you know, now you have an adult, you know, you've bred all the information, cooling, cycling, da-da-da-da-da. You've put them in, you've seen the lockups, you know, and then you move into the next phase. It's like, okay, now you got eggs, you know, and it's like, oh, you're almost at the finish line, and, you know, now you get the eggs, and now you get to hatch the eggs, and, you know, it's just like...
Then it's a whole new kind of hell.
Yeah.
Hatch the eggs.
It's super exciting. Like, it almost makes the year fly. I don't know about you guys or what you think, but it's like the year just kind of flies by. Like, you don't even know because you're so worried about, you're so concentrated on the next season of what's going on with your snakes that you're sort of like forget about. Like, you know, I honestly used to hate the fall and the cold and everything. And this is like the first year that I'm actually looking forward to. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, like, come on.
You're gone, Eric. You're blasted, man. When you start basing your life around the seasons of your projects and everything, you're right where you want to be. And as far as your first breeding season goes, Zach, keep up the good work, man, because my first breeding season, I had a smoking male and an incredible female that I just got. I got her soon enough where I could get a couple meals into her and start cycling her and everything else. And I cooled them, did everything, textbook, did all my research. And I put them together, and they combated.
That was
my first breeding season.
All right. Well, if we're going to share these stories.
So you're aces. At this point, you're aces. And they're getting,
you're doing fine.
I tell this to a lot of first-time breeders is that, you know, you can only do so much. And then once they lock up, after that, you have nothing. There's not a damn thing you can do from there on. All you have left is time.
Yeah.
You know, then you wait for, you know, to see an ovulation if you can, and prelay, and then you get eggs, and if they're viable, and you let, you know, if you do a maternal incubation, then you're still just waiting. You know, the only time, once they lay the eggs, the only control you have is if you decide to incubate them yourself.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, you know, once you get them to lock up, there you go.
Yeah.
So you're doing something right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I appreciate it, guys. I needed a pep talk because I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, it's like I'm starting to cool now, and I'm like, oh, what's going on? I appreciate it.
And don't over-question yourself either, because my first breeding season, I got, as far as getting the eggs, I got eggs out of my one female, and I put them in the incubator, and I kept questioning it and tweaking, ended up cooking the entire clutch.
That's because you put corn snake eggs in the incubator. You don't do that.
They were carpet python eggs, and the corn snake eggs,
sorry,
you don't put them in the incubator. You stick them in a box somewhere in the house. They hatch on their own. So.
Yeah, but that's cool. I like the fact that there's another entry level person into the carpet python world, and you know you're taking a shot at it, and good luck to you. You know.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, and I'm glad that everybody made it out of the storm okay. Yeah, especially all East Coast guys.
Yeah, we didn't ask you how did you fare. Did you fare okay?
Man, lights didn't flicker. Internet never went off. I was sitting around watching horror movies. It was pretty good. I can't complain. I really can't complain. We never have a problem because I guess I'm so close to the city grid that we never really get power outages here. And it helps to live in a row home, man, let me tell you, because that wind does not affect the house at all. So we're good here. We're good. Everything was fine over here. Yep.
That's awesome. So if my power goes out, I'm taking half of my snakes to your house and half of them to Owen's house.
Whoa, now. We did not agree to this.
I know. I'm like walking distance. Let me tell you, it wouldn't be a big deal. All right, guys. I appreciate it. I'm going to leave you guys alone. All right?
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot, Zach.
Yep.
Take care, buddy.
Cool guy. Yeah, Zach's a
When
cool
the hell did
guy.
We
yeah.
become the people who impart knowledge on people?
Yeah.
When the hell
That's
did that
scary.
Happen?
Yeah,
that.
Right. The three of us are given knowledge about the...
I don't care to discuss this matter.
True. So true.
Well, the way I look at it is, you know, we all got on there, you know, like Owen was saying, or Eric, pardon me, was saying earlier, is that, you know, we all get in that, you start from somewhere. And you get from there and you find people that have been doing it, you know, for years, or even if they've, you know, just done it for a couple of years, they know that much more than you do. And you learn from them. And then you find people that are just getting into it, you know, as, you know, this case in particular, is that they're just getting into it. And then you can share that knowledge and it's kind of progressive. You know, you learn more and you can teach them others. You know, like Jason's my go-to guy. You know, if I got, you know, like I said before, if I got issues, hey, man, what's going on? Well, this is what's going on. Well, what's going on? You're an idiot, Howard. This is what's going on. Oh, okay. And I say that to the same people that, you know, I was on a call earlier this evening. Same thing. Somebody asking me for advice, and it always astounds me. I'm like, why are you asking me? And then while I'm explaining stuff to him and, you know, and talking to him with everything, I'm like, holy shit, I actually do know what I'm talking about. So,
where the hell did that come from?
That's a pretty fun experience, yeah.
I do know something.
Yeah. All of a sudden you realize, I was paying attention. So.
Good for that guy for calling me, yeah.
Exactly. Boy, is he screwed.
I'm sorry, Zach. You know, I'm giving you all the information and helping you along, so you're in trouble.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't tell him that. You just think that to yourself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Damn.
Whoops. So,
yeah. So, I guess we're winding down on time here. We're about, 15 minutes away?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm getting ready to hop off of here anyway. It's a work night, so I got to sleep. Yeah, that's it. if you don't mind, real quick, I will be in New York. Reading Reptile Breeders will be in New York November 25th. At the East Coast Serpents table with Mr. Balin.
Yeah.
And then the trio, Moana from Mojo Reptiles and myself and Jason, will be at Hamburg the December 1st.
Awesome.
And then what after the new year, I don't know.
Tinley Park.
I have, that's the only thing that's given at this point. Other than that, there's not much going on.
Okay.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll stop up to see you on in December in Hamburg. So cool.
You have to.
We'll be there.
I'm going to be there.
Awesome.
I'll be there too.
Oh, all right,
you,
Howard.
You were able to get a new table? Another table?
I have the same table across the way, but I'm going to try to, at the December show, try to get closer to you guys. So. This way, I'll just have lots of fun. We'll see.
Yeah. Come on, man.
You're going to be at the December show, Owen?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Of course.
Maybe I'll get some Morelia Python swag and head up there and sit at the table with you and such.
Yeah. It'd be cool.
All right,
fellas. Enjoy your evening.
Likewise.
It's always a pleasure, and I'll be rapping at you.
All right.
Thanks, Howard.
That's always fun hanging out with Howard.
Of course.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
All right. I would be I just wanted to give some shout outs real quick at the end of the episode here. I just want to make sure I hit on a couple of things. One, you know how much I love the IJs and my buddy Jason.
Really? You? I had no idea.
He was lucky enough to pick up this McManus line of Erie and Jaya's, and I think they were Marty McManus. They came from Austin. They came from Canada, actually, and he purchased them and he sold them to Jason. And basically, I don't know if you got a chance to see these, but they're pretty wild looking. The male looks like an Angolan python to me. It has like that look, and then the female, she's got like really really dark colors. And I just think about, you know, refining that to that all black snake. So, yeah, I really thought that they were cool animals. I just wanted to give them a quick shout. I posted them over up on the page. Also over there, likewise, I was scrolling around, just looking at IJs and such. And if you go over to VPI's page, one of the Erie and Jaya's that VPI brought in, again, I have this posted up on the page. It looks like a jungle. It's wild looking. It's really,
really
cool. Yeah, it's really, really cool. So, yeah, go over there and check it out on the page. You can see it. It's from VPI.com, their site, IJs. Another one that I want to give a shout-out to, our buddy from Australia. If you are in Australia listening to the show and you're looking for some I guess he's calling it aspen chip, aspen bedding.
Okay.
It's kind of like sani chips type of thing.
Yeah, I know what aspen is. It's wood can be like,
It's our buddy Damien, Damien High from Reptile Connection. He has aspen bedding going. So I know the website is www.aspenbedding.com.au. So yeah, if you're looking for you know, aspen bedding and you're down in Australia, definitely go over and check out that site and, you know, Damien hook you up. So, good luck on that. What was the other thing? Oh, we finally got a Woma show. That'll be next. John Floyd. I don't know, John F, you know him from the forum.
Yeah,
he does carpets too. Definitely we'll squeeze some carpet talk in there. But I know he has a special fondness in his heart for Womas. So he has triplets on the way. So hopefully he doesn't have the triplets on the night of the show. So other than that, it'll be next Tuesday we'll have him
Wait, you just said hopefully he doesn't have triplets the night of the show.
Yeah, like...
Right?
Yeah, his wife is about to have triplets.
Holy crap.
Yeah. So I'm saying I hope, you know, why.
Yeah, that would, kind of... Sorry, guys, I can't make it. Why? Oh shit. Well, that is a good reason.
We're going to have to listen
to
and Eric again? What the hell?
Hell, that's no good at all. Right. Thank God Howard was here. We wouldn't have anything to talk about with each other.
Yeah. Well, there's always snake talk. There's always something.
That's true. We could always just somehow immerse ourselves in that. So.
The other exciting thing, I don't know if you've caught this either, but is in the works. And again, this is Andrew Paris, and I want to say Jason's involved with this. But they did this mock-up magazine of it's called Morelia Magazine. Did you see that?
Yeah.
And they want to do something to go maybe once a quarter or maybe twice a year or something like that.
I expect a full run article with cover photos for Morelia Python Radio.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling them that I would definitely want to be involved in it in any way I can.
God damn it.
I'm sure that you would be too.
There we go.
To be honest with you, when I saw them do it, and I'm telling them this, is one of the ideas that I was going to do with the show coming in the next upcoming year was to try to do that type of thing, to do a newsletter type of magazine type of promote. You know, nothing, just something that's over the internet that you would give out to kind of touch on maybe some of our various topics that we talked on, some of our guests, you know, highlight on what some of the cool stuff that's going on in Moralia, you know, just to give another facet to the show. And I think if you have something like that, you know, you're at a show, you have something that, that people can look at, and I think it's just that not much more that is going to take the Carpet Python Moralia world a step further. But
excellent.
I don't want to rain on their, you know, I don't want to steal their idea or anything. So
we'll just help.
If we can try to tie it in together and try to.
Why not?
Because I think it would be pretty cool. So and again. Andrew Paris, he did our logo and he did our banner. He did the banner for my EB Moralia. And
I have to get him to do a banner for Rogue now.
Yep, and he did a great job, and he was an awesome guy. He did, you know, a fair price. He's pretty honest. He was super patient with me because I had 1,000 things going on all at once, and I'm trying to balance all these things, and I'm trying to send him pictures and try. You know, there was days where he's waiting for me to respond that I didn't get back to him because of, you know, the show or whatever the case may be or work.
Right.
Or, you know, but he, again, like I said, super patient guy, did everything I asked him to. I asked him for advice. He gave me his input, told me what he would do, you know, and he just came back and he gave a superior product. So I was really, really pleased, and it was a pretty, pretty fair price. So, you know, if you guys are interested in doing anything for your Facebook page, or if, you know, you want to put a banner up on a website or something like that, or maybe you want to design a logo for your business, you know.
God, I love the picture.
It's cool, ain't it?
It looks better than when I first saw it. That is fantastic. I didn't know we had a little radio tower on the top.
Well, the first time it started out as a it was a microphone. But I told him when we were going back and forth, I was like, I don't really feel the microphone. I'm not, you know, it doesn't tie in the same way as the other thing did. And, you know, we came up with the idea of the radio tower. And
I love it. That's fantastic.
Pretty excited about it. But, I guess the best way to get in touch with him would be to go over to his Facebook page. I think it's Paris Reptiles, I want to say, or you can just find them under Andrew Paris and give him a message and let him know what you're interested in. But, great guy, great job. I met him out at Tinley, which was cool. And his buddy Dave is the guy that bought the IJs from me. So, you know, around good deal. And I'm definitely going to get Andrew to come over to the dark side because I know right now much on the light side.
No. You need to stay on the light. I need more light siders up here. I keep feeling the hate. I need to feel the love here. Come on.
He's got a bunch of he's got some really nice jungles. He's a really good photographer too. He takes some awesome pictures and such. But
speaking of photography, my good friend, the calendar, we're making headway on that one, correct?
Yes. Yes, that's
a lie. But
no. I mean, the idea was that I was trying to get the logos and such done, and then my next project was finishing up the calendar, getting that out by the end of November, beginning of December, and getting that all squared away. And you know, I think they're gonna. I actually, when I look at those pictures on my, you know, you go in and you set it up as a calendar so you can kind of see what it looked like, a virtual calendar. And it looks pretty cool, man. I'm pretty excited to have one of that.
I can't wait. I get one for free, right? Is that my other?
Oh, yeah, that's your other little.
It's my other perk to this. Sweet.
A free calendar, and that's it.
Yeah, the loss of my Tuesday nights for the rest of my life. Cool.
Tuesday, fair trade.
In my opinion, yes.
There you go. I feel like I'm forgetting stuff because I feel like, being out of the loop for a few days.
It feels like it's been a while.
Yeah, you know, Tuesday night came around, and it just didn't feel the same without doing the show.
It felt weird.
I was kind of bummed out, and I was like, wow, I can't go a week without doing the show. So, you know, we just came in here and did a BS show and such. So.
I don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah, you're kind of like, what do I do on Tuesday now? So
the hell do I do? Well, something's not right.
Yeah. So, yeah, like I said, next week you were back to our regular time and back to Tuesdays and everything. You know, sorry for
who's,
all the
who's coming on next week?
It's going to be John Floyd.
Awesome.
To talk Woman.
Yeah, I should have realized that one. That was me being stupid. So
kind of a couple minutes back, yeah. But.
Shut up.
Shut so, yeah, up. I'm going to give the rundown of, of what we got. Of course, check out Morelia Python Forums. Go over there, become a member. Check out what's going on in the community. It's www.moreliapythons.com. Then, of course, go over and check out moreliapythonradio.com. That will lead you to Facebook pages. Go over, like our page. I put, if you want to know what we're talking about during the show, what I do is during the week, I go through the internet, look at the different things that we want to hit on. And I'm going to post them up over on the Morelia Python Radio page. So then you can go and check it out as, you know, as we're talking live. And it seems to be the easiest way to do it so that people can see what we're talking about. So, yeah, go over there, like that page. So you can follow it during the show. And you'll also see on that same thing that's linked to me, Eric Burke, you'll see E.B. Morelia go over there like that as well. Sign up for Morelia Pick of the Week. I think we're up to 468 members at this point.
Holy shit.
Which is pretty exciting. I like to hit 500. So, you know, I'm going to go on a big thing to try to push to hit the 500 and that'll be an exciting time. You can go listen to us on iTunes. You can download on iTunes. Then it will download as soon as the show is uploaded to iTunes. And that's kind of where all the messages started to come. Yeah, I can't get it downloaded on iTunes.
Didn't download.
No, I can't get it downloaded on iTunes.
I can't download.
So it's good that, you know, I really appreciate the fact that people are listening and getting information from the show. And, you know, it makes all the work worth it. And, you know, that people are actually digging carpet pythons in Morelia. So the only other thing I have is hopefully this week I'll be able to take some pictures of some baby snakes and get them up on EB Morelia. And go over there, check that out, and hopefully if you see something you like, you can
buy it.
Buy it. Thanks,
I will say what you won't. Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah.
You say I'm good at selling snakes because I can actually finish a sentence. But
I'm so all tired. Right. I'm stupid. So, all right, go ahead. What do you got?
All right, for me, I got that you can definitely go to Facebook and look up Rogue Reptiles, Rogue-Reptiles. Like us on Facebook. It's where I'll put up all the news. Plus, what I'm going to start doing is before I put an ad on Kingsnake, I'm going to throw it up on Rogue's Facebook page for at least 2 days. So if you want first dibs on anything Rogue, you got to make sure you like the Facebook page. Secondly, RogueReptiles.com. That's Rogue-Reptiles.com. Which is currently down because all of the servers that we use are in New York City. So give me some time. Hopefully they'll come back. I don't know what's happening. I got an email that said, the company that runs your website is kind of screwed right now. So hold on and hopefully it'll be back.
Oh, wow.
The other thing you do is definitely email me if you're interested in any of the animals that we got cooking, and stay tuned for the new ones. Once I find my camera, I'm going to be posting up a ton of babies. We'll also be offering unrelated pairs when it comes to our caramels and other things. We will be at the November 10th Oaks show in Oaks, Pennsylvania. Definitely come by, check out Rogue Reptiles. Also, we'll be at the December 1st Hamburg show, and those will be the first couple days, first show dates that we got. And I think the countdown has begun to a few weeks before we shut down shipping for winter. So if you want something, definitely get in contact with me quick. That's all I got.
All right. And then last thing, check out Carpet Fest, www.carpetfest.com. You got the Northeast one. You got the Northwest. You choose which one you want to go to. If you're out on the West, go out there. If you're out on the East Coast, come out here. Definitely cool.
Make
to
plans.
Go out.
Yep.
Bump heads. So come up. It's coming up in May. Howard Redding is hosting it. And it should be a great time on the Northeast side. So, yeah, all the information, www.carpetfest.com. And that's all I got. Till next week.
Awesome. We'll see everybody then.